If you are in the Slido, you'll know that the most burning question is for Reverend Ockman Key. We want to know, how did you make it to Bolivia? Did you make it? Did you make it in time? We need to know this.
It was a very interesting journey. From where I should start? Okay. When I found out that I was actually in Mexico, I wasn't sure what to do. And later on, I found out that La Paz, Mexico is a very well-known resort place, that there is an ocean. Actually, the water that I saw was a Pacific Ocean. But I felt that there was a lake. I wasn't sure what to do. At night, I was scared to go out from the airport alone, because after all, it is Mexico. And I did not have much cash money either. And I did not know any Spanish, and so where to go, I wasn't sure. So as I was in anxiety, there was a gentleman behind a rental car booth, and he came over to me, and he asked me whether I was in trouble. So I said, yeah, I'm in trouble, and I explained to him about my situation, and he was kind enough to take me to a hotel his friend owned, and it was reasonably priced, so with the money that I had, I was able to pay for it. And following morning, I came early to the airport to get a ticket back to Los Angeles. And when I got back to Los Angeles, obviously I was trying to find a way to go down to Bolivia. I made an inquiry actually in Mexico through that gentleman how I could go down to Bolivia. And he contacted someone, and answer was given back to me. And he said, you need to find a flight from La Paz, Mexico to Mexico City. From Mexico City, you need to fly to Lima, Peru. From there to La Paz, Bolivia. And obviously, catching flight takes a lot of time. In between, transit time was very long. And I calculated the airfare. It was hugely expensive. Besides that, even if I was able to go there, I had only one day for the conference. So that was not worthwhile. So that's why I decided to come back to Los Angeles. And so I barely got a ticket. I came back to Los Angeles, and I wanted to come back to Singapore. And so I went to the Singapore Airlines office to make an inquiry to change the ticket. But my ticket wasn't allowed to change. It is because, you know, if you buy cheap tickets, and I'm not sure these days, but those days, there is a condition, at least you have to spend 72 hours in that destination before you return. I came to Los Angeles, went down to Mexico, and only one night I spent, I came back, so I did not spend 72 hours. And besides that, at U.S. Customs, at Los Angeles airport, I was troubled by the immigration officer. It was because I went to Mexico previous night, and I came back with the first flight, and I did not live in Mexico or America, and he was very suspicious of me, why I was traveling back and forth within such a short amount of time between Mexico and U.S. So there was a very long interrogation. But anyway, Singapore Airlines said that you cannot change your ticket unless you buy just a one-way ticket fully, and one-way ticket from Los Angeles back to Singapore was quite expensive, and I did not have enough money either. So I began to think of my condition. Effectively, I was in a situation to become a person who was completely lost in the airport for the next 48 hours. And I was thinking very hard, and I tried to reach to my wife, because her auntie lived in Los Angeles, but it was very hard to contact her. And so there are a lot of ongoing attempts from my part. And eventually, I went back to the Singapore Airlines office. And I begged for mercy. I told the lady there what had happened and please find a way for me to return to Singapore. And I begged and begged and she finally had a pity on me and she went to a supervisor and they talked and for a long time and she came back with a smile and she said, you can fly out tonight at 11 o'clock if you pay 45 service charge dollars. Then you can fly out. So finally, I was able to come back to Singapore. Thank the Lord.
I'm sure Singapore Airlines is a good company. Well, we have about 4 minutes left. So, but do not worry. Keep your questions coming. There's still Q&A tomorrow. And also, if you do not know, in the past few church camps, Reverend Seat will answer every single question that you post, right? And then we'll send it out. So thank you, Reverend Sid, for that. But let me just ask the second question here, which I think is very chim. I actually don't understand it. So maybe, Pastor, you could share with us how can people overcome fleeting passions or convictions or the temptation to dispose of their convictions or to be tribal in their fellowship, and also share with us how they can avoid church hopping.
I think that this question is actually answered in tonight's message. You know, the idea that passion is actually about determination. And so it is something that, you know, it's a settled conviction, not a conviction that's disposable. It's not merely a feeling. It is the act of the will. Right? Something, you know, like what we sang, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And so once we have made up our mind, then, you know, we have to just stick to it, right? And how to overcome and avoid church hopping. Well, I think that as long as the church still is preaching the gospel and still a Bible-believing church, no church is perfect in this world. If you can ever find a church that is perfect, don't go to it, right? Because you'll make it imperfect, right? So there's no such thing as a perfect church in this world, right? And I think we have to kind of dismiss that thought that, you know, by continually hopping from church to church, we can find, a place where we can fit in. The best thing is to just ask the Lord, Lord, if this is the place where you have placed me, then use me to be a blessing to the people in this church.
All right. And the last question for tonight, I was hoping to get a bit more personal sharing, and it's one of the questions that come up here. Perhaps you could share with us, how do you sustain your passion for God? What do you do, or what's the best strategies you've come across to sustain your passion for God? I was thinking of going down the line, but any one of you. Yeah. Maybe we'll start with Reverend Greg.
There are times of discouragement in the ministry. There are times of loneliness. There are times when you feel like giving up. But I always remember, for me, being in full time of my calling. The calling from God to serve Him full time with my life. And I've served Him since the age of 30 until now I'm 58. So what sustains me is, as what Pastor Key mentioned this evening, the focus is on Christ and Christ alone. So that was what sustained me, even though there were discouragement, trials, and difficulties. Yeah. So the temptation to give up is very real. But the calling that God has called me to, that sustains me. So that's my experience. Yeah.
One way that can help you to sustain your passion, you know, is to read inspiring stories about people who have persevered in passion. And, you know, those missionaries who have gone to the field and spent their entire lives there, read such biographies. You know, people like Hudson Taylor, Adoniram Judson, William Carey. These are really inspiring people who have passion, you know, and they really continued all the way until they reach glory. Another way that they can sustain your passion for God is to walk with people who have passion, right? In other words, if you see people around you and Christians, you know, who have a passion for God, spend time with them, talk to them, you know, and stay close to them, right? Because their passion can rub off on you.
I think pastors have shared all those thoughts, and I cannot but agree with them all. And if I just add a few things, oftentimes we do sing a hymn, Count Your Blessings, one by one, by which actually we can have a thankful heart, and I do count the blessings God has given to us, given to me and my wife, and our family. And so I want to be a man of gratitude. One of the things that I did when I officially retired from my pastor's office last year, during my missionary years, some individuals and some churches had supported me. And I wrote them notes of thanks by remembering their support and helps many years ago. And I try to give them some gifts in a way as a token of my gratitude. We take oftentimes the things for granted very much. So when we do not have any more, as before, we tend to complain by forgetting all those things for which we had to be thankful in the past. So count the blessings. And another thing is thinking about Christ, really. I tend to get up early in the morning. Some mornings at 2:30 or 3:30, 4:30. Most of the mornings, I get up between 3 and 4. And that's the time my mind is very fresh, and that is the time I to think of my relationship with the Lord. And as a preacher, I think as all other pastors, just like their pastors, I have an opportunity and privilege to study the scriptures to prepare a message of Christ Jesus. In fact, you know, sometimes I appear to be very emotional, but like tonight's message sounds like very dry and just a straightforward message of Christ Jesus. But I wept over this message many a time while I was praying, preparing for it. Christ means to me. Christ to me is very special. And I do recognize my sinfulness. I thoroughly recognize my wickedness and smallness before the presence of God. So I do have opportunity to repent of my sins and restore my relationship with Christ Jesus. It's a desperate effort, I must say. The last thing I want to share is that my spouse, my wife, is a companion and helpmate. When I am getting weaker, she strengthens me. When I need to be pointed out, sometimes rebuked, she gives me a gentle reminder. Sometimes that gentle reminder is not taken by me gently, but very violently. But she's like Jimmy the Cricket in Pinocchio story. And as a result, I can rectify the things that I have done unrightly. So supporting group around us can actually encourage us. We need a believer's team. That's why communion of saints and fellowship with fellow believers is extremely important. So these are the ways that I have been able to be sustained.
Thank you, pastors. I'll get Reverend Seed. Could you close us this session in prayer? And then I'll get Wei An to give announcements.
Come, let's pray. Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to hear so much about Christ tonight. Indeed, O Lord, our hearts leap with joy whenever we hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he means the world to us. Thank you, Lord, for everything that Christ is to us from the day of salvation, even through our entire Christian life, and even till the time when we are promoted to glory and we see Christ. And so, Lord, may we take home all that we have heard, meditate upon them well, and resolve now to follow Christ faithfully. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.